grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin, like holy water on my skin. It's like holy. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel, oh, like I'm gonna break. But I'm holding on to a hope that won't fail. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt, to right every wrong. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no more war. Yeah. There'll be no more change. When Jesus comes, let today be the day. He'll come for the weak and the strong just the same, and all will believe in the power. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down. because it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return and heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me. That's why I'm rocking. I got wings. He's with his brand new grandchild.
I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I can sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. And you'll never do. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much of nothing else except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for hearts singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, good morning, church. It looks like the sun on the beach pushed us in here. And but whether we're sitting over there glistening in a little bit of summer sweat, or we're in here at Shelby's, or in February you can catch us in our puffy coats over there with icicles coming off our nose, we're just so thankful that we're able to freely worship, talk about Jesus in this little stretch of paradise, and we're equally thankful that you all decided to join us. This is a church that says, come as you are. Bring your dirty laundry. We all got it. You can worship in ways you're comfortable worshiping. You stay seated. You stand up. You raise your hands up. You shout out some amens or hallelujahs. If we're on the beach, I tell people to do cartwheels. It's a little tight in here, so just stay in your own little space. And get in your worship comfort zone. Be yourself. So welcome home, everybody. I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome our remote folks, the people who watch us online. If you are not already there and you want to download today's worship folder, go to hopeonthebeach.com. You scroll down. There's a little tab there. It says Sermon Notes for July 12th. That's a pretty good idea that you're at the right place. Download that and follow right along. And post something when you're out there. Now, don't post a picture of you standing in a sweater next to your thermostat and it says 68 degrees. You will not get a Christian response. But we're glad that you're there. We love that you're with us. And in your worship folders, if I could just tell you to look there, and there's a little blue connection card. This is a way that we do connect with you. If you're first-time visitors, or if you're here and you have reasons why you're here and you need prayer, I just ask you to look at the front of that card and fill it out with information you're comfortable sharing with us, like who you are, where you're from, how you found us. Maybe there's some of you who are like in a holding pattern, and you're wondering, where am I going to land? Where am I going to find a church? Well, this is like the Cheers Church. Everybody knows your name. If you like something small, intimate, people have a lot of fun here. We eat well, but we also do a lot of great things in the community. So I'd ask you to fill that out. And at the, when the ushers come by later on with blue buckets, you're going to put your those blue connection cards in there. You know, today Pastor Ray is going to hit us with a message, and the title is, and I just love this, The Jesus You Didn't Know, Do You Want to Change? Now, you could ask yourself, do I want to change? And I don't know how he's going to lay this thing out, but you got this hooked me. And I think I'm going to tell you all to just buckle up, because it's going to be a darn good ride. And before we do that, I'm also going to invite you now to stand up. And we're going to continue worship. And come, let us worship the Lord Jesus Christ, whose life-giving word sees us in our need, calls us to faith, and quite frankly, makes all things new.
Amen. So I'm going to teach you guys this song. Maybe some of you know it, some of you don't. So we're going to do the chorus. And on your bulletin, it'll say, Who Am I? That's the chorus.
Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
All right, sing it with me. Let me hear you. Because we're singing it to him, right? It's an audience of one. And I'll say this, if you're looking at me, you're doing it all wrong. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen?
Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
You got it? Yeah?
There was no way until you made one. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it.
Let's sing that again.
There was no way till you made one. A grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Holy, holy, there is only one.
Yeah.
I give you glory for all that you've done.
Yeah.
Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And I, lifting both of my hands, you give me chance after chance after chance. And I, giving all that I am, you give me chance after chance after chance. And I, lifting both of my hands, you give me chance after chance after chance. And I, giving all that I am, you give me chance after chance after chance. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. I survived. I survived, and I'm here to testify. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. I'm all right if they say I'm out of my mind. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm grateful for God in my life. Some people say I shouldn't be here. But he stayed right there by my side. He changed my name. He showed me grace upon grace upon grace and called me home. 23 years in ministry, and that's not an achievement, y'all. That's a calling. And, you know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, he is here. It also says in Luke 12:12, at that very hour, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. And in our lives, sometimes we have to make decisions that are hard. And quite frankly, heartbreaking. And I encourage you to know that God was with you. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit taught you what to say. So if you ever have any regrets, any fear or any guilt, know that he is the most merciful God in the world. And if he was with you and the Holy Spirit taught you what to say, regret does not come from him. It comes from the enemy. This is why this next song is important. Because Christ has to be our firm foundation. He is our rock on which we stand. Can I get an amen? Christ is my firm foundation. Oh, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, oh, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Hey. Amen.
He won't. Well, I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. 'Cause I built my life on Jesus. Oh, he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Hallelujah. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. No. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make
make it through. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through. 'Cause I'm standing strong on you. Yeah, I'm gonna make it through. 'Cause my house, oh, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me shaking. Oh, I'm faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Hey!
He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't.
Get an amen to that. Man, I wish we could worship on the beach. I'm one of them. But think of the advantage. It's right there. All the water you can drink and coffee. You don't get that on the beach, do you? So we got a lot of pros right now. So we got, seriously, we have water over here. If you need water, come get a bottle of water or a cup of coffee. It's okay. It doesn't distract me if you're moving during my message. I'm good with that, all right? Because we want to try to take care of you the best that we can. So we're glad you're here. What a blessing it is to be together this Sunday morning. Every Sunday is a remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So we begin talking to Him. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank You for being here among us this morning. As we study Your Word, speak to our hearts. Not only to our ears and to our heads, but to our hearts. And Father, I pray that You will bless Christian as he's down at Inlet Beach this morning preaching Your Word. And that You bless Pastor Jason, Lord, and keep him in Your care and give him rest this weekend. And I thank You for the opportunity to share Jesus with these people. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here. I've been preaching in Texas the last two Sundays. It's been a real interesting thing to go back to my roots. And near Waco, Texas is where I was this last week and last two Sundays. So it's good to be back with you. And I've been in ministry for a long time, and I know that some of you are Lutherans, and I don't want to offend you, but you've heard that joke, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? You know the answer, right? None, because Lutherans don't believe in change.
Hey!
Even if you're a Lutheran this morning, I hope that you'll change a little bit once you hear God's word. This portion of the gospel that we're going to read in a moment documents the miracles of Jesus. Pastor Jason preached on one of the miracles that Jesus performed, and this morning I'm going to share another one with you. And it's important to remember that when Jesus heals, he just doesn't heal for the sake of healing. In other words, he doesn't walk into a hospital and go, everybody's healed, and then take off. He does it because he is to show who he is. He is the power over all things. That's the first reason. Second reason is that he heals because it correlates that when he heals someone, it points to the fact that we need spiritual healing. So we're going to talk about physical healing. We talk about spiritual healing, physical change and spiritual change. So let's get into our text from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed condolades. I'm going to stop there. They found this in the late 1800s, by the way. They dug it up and they see all the stuff that John describes in his gospel. You can go there today and look at the pond where this historically took place. So we're talking about a historical place that you can visit today. Let me continue. Verse 3. And these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Well, they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, and that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. The one thing that you'll see in this story, it wasn't the man seeking Jesus, it was Jesus seeking out this one man. The man wasn't expecting anything different to happen that day. It's kind of like today when you woke up, you came to church. Yeah, it's going to be routine. We go to church, go out to lunch, and that'll be our day. That was this man. Nothing's going to change. If this man were a Lutheran, we can imagine the conversation. Jesus goes, "Why do you keep returning here to try to get into the pool?" And the Lutheran would say, "You know the answer. Because we've always done it that way." We've always done it that way. So the first lesson that we can see in this is that Jesus is doing a new thing with this man's life. He's making a change in this man's life. So number one in your notes, Jesus sees what everyone else walks past. Notice that Jesus deliberately goes through this community, this place where these people hung out. For lack of a better term, he was going to the homeless ghetto where all these people were at. It was probably the to the pool, sat on their mat, and then, "I'll come get you later this afternoon." Kind of hard to go to the bathroom when you're on a mat all day long. It's probably a really not a pretty sight, to say the least. And Jesus goes out of his way to visit this place. The area was an eyesore, but Jesus doesn't look away. He searches the crowd, and he intentionally visits this place where the outcasts gather, and he zeroes in on this one man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. Zeroes in on him. It reminds us of that Jesus stopped, remember, below a sycamore tree, and Lazarus was up in the tree, and he called him by name, "Lazarus, won't you come down?" He picked out Lazarus. He picked out this man. Do you remember Nicodemus one-on-one with Jesus? When Nicodemus came to visit him, the woman at the well, Jesus went out of his way through Samaria to meet this woman at the well. The point is this. Every hair on your head is numbered by the Lord Jesus. He knows you. If you are a baptized Christian, you were baptized alone. He was there. His personal attention was there for you. For you, the individual. And one day when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't say, as a crowd will walk through, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." This is our shepherd. He would leave the 99 and go search for the one. And here we have him doing it again. This story, as the story is ultimately about us. And we can all see ourselves, because in a lot of ways, we are paralyzed in some way, shape, or form. We are paralyzed in some of the things that we do and don't want to do. And this is recorded in the gospel because it's important to understand that God helps those who cannot help themselves. Did you hear what I said? He doesn't help those who help themselves. That's Ben Franklin. Okay. Benjamin Franklin said, God helps those who help themselves. That's not scriptural. God helps those who cannot help themselves. God helps the helpless. So number two, Jesus challenges the excuses that keep us stuck. Listen again to part of this text. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had already been there a long time, and he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." See, they had this kind of a suspicion that the water sometimes would bubble, and they said, "Well, what's causing it to bubble?" Well, more than likely, it was the water pressure from the spring, but they thought it was an angel, even though no one ever really saw the angel. So he's saying that, well, you know, no one puts me in the water. Someone beats me to it all the time. You notice he doesn't answer the question, does he? He doesn't say, "Yes, I want to be healed." He is fixated on his excuse. No one will help me. Jesus' question, it's kind of an interesting question. Do you want to be healed? For crying out loud, why would I be here? But it goes deeper than that, because Jesus asked the question to two things. Number one, to expose the insanity of this man. You keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Do you want to continue playing the game of excuses? No one will help me. No one's going to help you tomorrow either. No one helped you yesterday. What makes you think someone's going to help you today? Do you want to keep playing this game of excuses? Or do you really want to be healed? And the second reason that Jesus asked the question is so that this man would turn his eyes on the person speaking to him, which is Jesus, who could change his situation and heal him. You know, it's always easy to blame other people for our problems. You know, his condition, we'll read at the end of this chapter, or end of this reading, was because of his sin. And now he's blaming others for not being healed. And look, he wasn't the first person to blame others for their situation. Remember Adam? When God talked to him, when God asked Adam why he disobeyed, and Adam explained, "The woman you gave me, she beguiled me, she persuaded me, and I did eat. Wasn't my fault, Lord. In fact, it's really probably your fault because you gave me the woman," okay? You know, and so the crippled man in our text is saying, you know, "I've got no one to help me. I've given up." Have you given up on some things in your life? And do you make excuses of why you're giving up? I don't know what's keeping you crippled. I don't know what's keeping you from doing what God would have you to do. Maybe you're blaming other people. I don't know. It's amazing to me how many people casually feel that they're in control of something that's in control of them. You know, I can quit smoking anytime I want. Look, I've quit 100 times already, see? I told you I could quit anytime I want. You know, I know that alcohol is ruining my life, but one day I'll quit. Because I can quit anytime I want. You know that, don't you? You've heard the person say I may be hooked on drugs and I need to quit. But I really don't mind being hooked on drugs, seriously. Maybe you're wrestling with pornography. You know that you need to change, but why? Someday I will. Don't give that up, but not today. Or maybe, this is the tough one, don't throw things, okay? Maybe your doctor told you you need to make some changes in your life and lose some weight, and you said, my circumstances and the people around me and the stress I have, it's not my fault. And many people are right where this man was, but you have to quit making excuses. Do you remember the movie The Empire Strikes Back? Luke tells Yoda, if you don't remember this, it's not going to make any sense until the quote. Luke tells Yoda, remember this? After he sunk his X-Wing in the swamp, his little X-Wing craft, he said, I sunk it in the swamp, I don't know what to do. And Yoda says, this is what you do. And then Luke says, I will what? Try. And Yoda says, do or do not. There is no try. There is no try. When you say you want to try, we're negotiating with yourself. I'll try. I'm looking for an excuse, but I will try. That's where Jesus' question comes in. Do you want to be healed? I know this applies to our spiritual life as well as our physical life. Jesus told a parable about a great banquet that's going to happen one day in heaven. In Luke 14, he tells the story of a wealthy master who gave a great banquet and invited many. But they were all making excuses. One said, yeah, I bought a field and I've got to go look at it. Please excuse me. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Everyone invited to the banquet suddenly discovers a reasonable sounding excuse of why they can't come. The excuses for skipping the banquet showed no reason whatsoever. Would you buy a piece of property without looking at it first? No. That also applies to oxen. Would you buy a bunch of oxen that were maybe blind and lame and then go look at them? No. And why wouldn't you want to go celebrate your marriage and attend a social event? That brings us to the critical moment of the story. Number 3, Jesus' word creates the life it commands. So why did Jesus say to a man who had lost all hope, who made all these excuses, get up, take up your bed and walk? The first thing Jesus said is, do what you cannot do, because I can do it through you. God speaks, and the very thing he speaks come into being. When God said, let there be light, there was light. And when Jesus commands something that seems impossible, get up and walk, to the paralyzed man, he not only includes the command, he gives him the power to do it. He gives him the power to do it. Do you remember Peter was in a boat with the disciples and he saw Jesus and he said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come. And Jesus said one word, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water. It wasn't Peter's power, or he wasn't a miraculous person like Jesus was. Jesus gave him the power to walk on water. But why did Peter fail? Because he looked at the waves and became fearful. I tell people all the time, look, when you're going into surgery and they put the IV in your arm, you ever had that happen? And you're waiting in pre-op, and you're waiting for the pre-operation to happen. And I'll go in as a pastor and I'll pray with them. And the first thing I tell them is, today you will walk on water. Because when they put you under, you have no power, right? It's all up to the Lord. And he will take you through this surgery. So don't be afraid. When they wheel you into the surgery room and all those bright lights, and the anesthesiologist is going to say, hey, count backwards. And you go, count what? You're gone. You're walking on water. Because you have to trust that the Lord is with you and he's taking care of you. And Lord, if it's you, tell me, come walk on water. Jesus speaks to the dead, and what happens? Lazarus come forth and Lazarus awakes. And if Jesus can do this for them, he can do it for you. The Word of God is living and active and cutting to the heart of all who actually are. Can you imagine if the lame man responded to Jesus, and Jesus has come, come, stand up. And he says, I don't know who you are, but would you just mind your own business? Or maybe, I don't have time for this. Can't you see I'm busy? How about, yeah, I've heard all this before. Yeah, forget it. I bet all you want is my money. Are you going to ask me for money? You're going to, like, do this little thing? Give me some money and I'll help you out. You know, like, Sunday's my only day to sleep in. I bet you're a hypocrite. How do we respond to God's word? How do we respond to God's word? Sometimes we respond this way, don't we? It's Sunday morning. Ah, oh, it's my only day to sleep in. I would join a church, but you know what? It brings me to four. Jesus didn't come just to change your circumstances. He came to change you. The Lord didn't only say, rise. He said, take up your pallet. Now, you may ask, well, why did he say that? Well, in order to make no provision for a relapse. So, because what they did back then is that you left your bed close to the water and someone would help you home so that tomorrow you would have save your spot to get back to it. It's like leaving your beach chair on the beach, going to eat lunch and going back, right? You want to keep your spot. So Jesus is saying to the man, no, don't save your spot. You have a new life now. Take up your pallet, throw it away, and don't come back to this. Get rid of it. Often we make excuses out of our circumstances, claiming that because of our circumstances, nothing will ever change. And when you do that, what you're saying is our destiny is determined by our circumstances instead of God, who is above all. When you say our destiny is determined by our circumstances, you're listening to yourself. And when you say my destiny is determined by my Lord, I'm listening to him. Who are you listening to? We often make excuses out of our circumstances. But here's the bottom line. God wants to do more than change your circumstances. He wants to change you. And our memory verse for today is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Will you say this with me? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All right, we're going to do that again. I want you to remember this. This is one of those verses like John 3:16 you should memorize, okay? Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When, every time I read this verse, I think about a butterfly. Okay, some of you are old enough to remember this. Some of you young people will go, a what? I'll have to define it, okay? Back in the day before cell phones, can you believe that there was a day we had no cell phones? Really? We had in our car a thing called a CB radio. Anybody have one of those? Okay. And it was, mine was in the dash right above my 8-track player. I'm not going to go there with you. And I had a handle. And those people who are CBers know what a handle is. Because where you're on, when you're on 19, hey, 119, hey, breaker, 119. You had a handle. That meant a name. That wasn't your name. I didn't go by Pastor Ray. My handle was Butterfly. And I was proud of it. And it wasn't Inagata Davita Iron Butterfly. That was not in tongues, okay, just so you know. Inagata Davita was a song. Google it later, okay? By the Iron Butterfly, okay? Inagata Davita. But the butterfly, the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly is that a butterfly has gone through a total transformation. And he doesn't go back and become a caterpillar ever. Because when he is in the cocoon, he breaks apart and dissolves into a completely different creature. And when the butterfly emerges, he has a different appetite, different perspective, different purpose, different life. He's changed forever. That's what God wants to do with us, to change us forever so we'll never be the same again. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians says. New creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. You have a new heart, new mind, new appetite, new perspective, new purpose. You have a new life. And if you're a Christian, live who you are. If you're a butterfly, you don't crawl, do you? You fly. You don't crawl, you fly. And the Bible contains story after story of how God's people were not defeated by their dismal circumstances. They had some pretty dismal circumstances, but God demonstrated His love and power in bad situations. But we can only see this when we allow God to give us a new heart. Our verse from Ezekiel 36:26, the Lord promises to remove the heart of stone and give us a new heart and a new spirit in its place. This is what it says. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. If you are a baptized Christian, we're going to do a baptism this morning. If you're not baptized, I got room for many more people, okay? And there's lots of water out there. We won't run out. But if you're a baptized Christian, the transformation took place. The Apostle Paul describes it in Romans 6, 3 and 4. He says it this way. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? You're in the cocoon. We were therefore baptized with Him, buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in the newness of life. If Jesus can bring you from the dead into life, He can give you the power to walk every day in His Spirit, according to His Word, if you let Him. And as we leave here this morning, Jesus asks you, is there some area of your life you want to be healed? Is there some area of your life you want to see changed? Do you believe what you believe is really real? If you say yes, then stand up, take up your bed, and walk. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word that is living and active. And we pray that Your Word will be living and active in us. Lord, as we leave here today, Lord, we know the changes we need to make in our own lives. We pray that by Your Word and Your Holy Spirit, that You will move in us and through us all the days of our lives. May this be a day of change. In Your most holy name we pray. Amen. You want to do the Lord's Prayer? And Scott wants to do the Lord's Prayer. It says it right here. Okay, will you stand up, please? If you don't know, Jesus' disciples came to Him and says, Lord, John has taught his top disciples how to pray. How do we do this? So I'm going to give you an acronym real quick. Hope you keep this. A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Let me say it again. Adoration, Lord, we adore You. Confession, we confess we're not always who we should be. Thanksgiving, Lord, we thank You for all things. And supplication, give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray this prayer, I want you to think of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
He's out ahead of you.
There's a bear in the woods.
Anybody from Pennsylvania? Anybody have shoe fly pie? There you go. That was my handle. I was shoe fly. But I always like writing things down because there's always something that's so poignant that I maybe put on a little yellow sticky. The humorous one is every hair on your head is numbered, so apparently God prefers, in my case, subtraction and not addition. But that playing the game of excuses, isn't it really fear that's the underlying cause of all our excuses? You're just afraid to change. You're afraid to do something. You're afraid to step out. And sometimes when we pray, it's always like, hey, God, here I come, here I come, here I come. It's really like, God, thank you for being there, because he's here. So as you shift that focus that he's here, boy, the power you get from knowing that he never leaves you is unbelievable. I was touched by that message, and we all should be touched. And one of the ways that we can respond is through giving. And it's just the ultimate thank you. I heard something that was so simple, and you probably heard it, but when God is your reason for gratitude, you'll always have a reason to give thanks. I mean, how simple is that? So as you, we've been blessed, all of us. I mean, look at this. So in this moment when we can just kind of open up and give back to him, it really does say a lot about us and a lot as a church. So in a couple minutes, the ushers are going to come through with a blue bucket, and you're going to put your offering envelope in there, and you're going to put your little blue connection card in there. And you will notice on the back, it says, I want to be baptized. It doesn't say, I'm thinking about it, maybe next week, da-da-da. It says, I want to be baptized. So playing off what Pastor Ray said, you know, we've just seen a lot of people after services walk right down to that beach, and I can promise you, when Ray puts you under, there's not a one-minute speech. So he will bring you up in under 4 seconds. Let me go back to the connection card. Oh, in your worship folders, you're going to see a couple events coming up. One is a large life group, which is Tuesday, July 21st. We have a special guest. You will notice there will be dinner. And then there's a lighthouse dinner. So you can see, as I said before, we do eat here. And this is where you can come in and kind of learn a little bit more about the church and how you might want to grow. And that one is on August 24th, so we're giving people a lot of chance to put it on their calendar. So, again, we're all standing, so let's close out the worship. The ushers are going to be coming through to get your offering and your connection card. And just have a great Sunday. Have a great week. Just know that God is with you and God loves you.
The lyrics are on the back page, by the way. Thank you, Pastor Ray, for that message. Remember those walls that we called sin and shame and escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. Us. He bore these up away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. Oh, this is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God. King Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit, he did, out of that pit. Jesus, who rescued me from that grave, Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise, nobody but him. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us.
This is our God, this is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. So as you go today, receive this blessing here at Hope on the Beach. We hold our hands out just like this. You want to do the blessing?
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with His favor and give you His peace. Amen. We have breakfast this morning, along with your water and coffee, so please stop by. There's fruit, there's goodies. Please let us get to know who you are. Also, we have a baptism this morning, and if Tori's here, come see me. We're going to meet over there by the wall, right outside this little area right here, okay? So if Tori's here this morning, meet me over here, and we're going to be doing a baptism. I have someone else we're going to be baptizing. Maybe three or four people we're baptizing this morning. So we're going to meet over there by the wall. If you have not been baptized and the Lord is putting it upon your heart that this is the day for a change in your life, meet us over there. I'll be standing over there by the wall. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.